Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Welcome to the Survivor Stockwatch Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to talk through this week's episode of Survivor 42. I think this was episode 9,
following
last week's episode 6. I'm here to briefly run through the episode and rate the players based on how well I think they're doing in the game and how they are positioned moving forward. With me this week to talk through it all is a man who decided to get off his butt.
Everybody get up off your butt
and join me for a stock watch. It's Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
Doing good, Taryn. It's been a minute since you and I have gone to talk Survivor. I feel like we're so wrapped up in the furniture and indoor activities of the Big Brother house. It's nice to get outside and talk about this a little bit.
Yes. Let's run through the episode. I mean, here's the thing. In terms of recapping the episode, there's not a ton to recap because it all, like, more than half, or roughly half of the episode was spent at Tribal. A lot of this is just going to be, I think, rating the players and trying to figure out exactly what we are looking at for the strategic positionings of everyone. We basically go straight into the immunity after we get some drama between Romeo and High with the not the greatest look of who did it? Who voted for me? I don't care, but I would like to know. High. Come on.
You're better than this, High. You know how much we rate you. I've been very high on High the whole season. And these last couple episodes have left me feeling, it's just a vote. I know you don't like it, but play detective quietly in the shadows. Don't publicly try to find out who the inky vote is. Messy. You don't need mess right now. Your life's fine.
Yeah. So they go straight into the immunity challenge. And what an immunity challenge. Like the recap for this podcast, it's quite rushed and brisk here as like more than half the cast just immediately falls off.
What was it? Within a minute, we were down to final two on each batch of five, right? It was absolutely, the water was mean that day, Taryn. The water slapped them all off the platforms there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is about this particular season, but that water has been pretty rough to these contestants. But there's one man who rises above the water, and that is the man who's been waiting for it, Mr. Jeff.
Waiting for this.
I've been waiting. Come on, Mr. Jeff.
Jonathan's going to come out on top here. Impressive performance by Jonathan High and Lindsay All as they rode that triangle like it was a bull.
It was easy, Taryn. They made it look like it was nothing. Everyone else was us, right? They showed us, this is actually difficult. These other three, I don't know how they managed to make it out there as long as they did.
Yeah, quite the immunity challenge. But the twist of the episode is that they're split into two groups of five, two immunity idols, and each group will be voting one person out. We saw this. We've seen this before. So High has immunity in his group, which consists of himself, Omer, Roxroy, Romeo, and Mike. And then Jonathan has immunity in his group of himself, Lindsay, Marianne, Tori, and Drea. Those are the two groups we are going to head into Tribal with. In the first group, we see that basically the premise is that Roxroy has been pitching for a guys alliance to come together. Omer and Hai are like, screw that misogynistic nonsense. We want nothing to do with that. Where do we think we fall in that hierarchy? Not great, not in a great spot. So they think this is a great opportunity. In particular, Omer seems to think this is a great opportunity to remove an obstacle from my way.
I'm trying to eliminate people at this stage of the game that I can't shape or mold to what I want.
I feel like Omer says something really smart every episode that I really enjoy. And I liked this.
He's been a treat this season. I've loved everything we've been seeing from all Omer here. And I do not disagree with him. I feel like in a situation like this, when you're put into a small group, if you can get someone out that you might not have in the bigger group, go for it. Why not? Take a risk. Take a gamble.
Yeah, and just in general, like, who cares if you're in a majority alliance if this person is not somebody that you can work very well with? Your personalities don't mesh well enough. This person is not somebody that's moldable to your style of play. Take them out, especially if you don't get the blame for it. I thought that the interesting thing here and the drama of the situation is twofold. Hai and Romeo could theoretically take out Roxroy, but Hai has two points of conflict. One is that he'd have to work with Romeo to do so when he just got into an argument with Romeo about the vote. And two, he doesn't want to leave Mike left behind. He doesn't want Mike to be pissed at him for turning on the group. And Mike doesn't have very much incentive at all to make this play. So both of those obstacles need to be overcome. But what I thought was interesting about this particular situation is that it was almost exactly what happened last episode, where Omer came up with the idea of, do I want the vote to go this way? Maybe not. Maybe I want it to go a different way. He pitches to Hai and then uses Hai as the person to go and do all the work. And then Hai goes, he does work with the big group. He talks to Mike, who's not in on it. Mike wants Chanel gone. Mike shuts the plan down and Chanel leaves. Almost the exact same thing happens this time, where Omer goes to Hai, says, what if we took out Roxroy? Hai then goes and pitches it to Mike, who's like, what are you doing to me, Hai? I don't want to do that. It doesn't make sense for me. But ultimately, this time, Mike seems to back down and the vote goes through. There's clearly a pattern here of the way that Omer is trying to operate, and I like that pattern.
It's very Lord Varys from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw some whispers out there into the wind, see where they take you. And I love it as well, too. I mean, he was someone who had no vote, that one tribal, controlled it. And here he is, vote in hand, still doing his thing and doing it in a very, very subtle way. I feel like there's not enough eyes on him, which I am not complaining about whatsoever. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. And that tribal is, I think, relatively straightforward. From here, basically, we see that they ultimately do convince Mike, and it's going to be a 4-1 vote, I believe, for Roxroy to go. He is blindsided, and he hopes that they are cold for doing so.
Yeah, that was unanimous, pretty much. There were a couple fun moments in the tribal where you knew Roxroy was hitting all the right phrases of, well, we just know what we're going to do. We're just men. We figured out our decision. We squatted on it. That's fine. We know what we're doing. You did not know what you were doing, but it's fine. You go now.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where that one goes. Interesting to see that Mike, again, ultimately capitulates to this idea. I think that's the wrong play by Mike. I think he was very well set up in the structure he existed in, and doing this has the potential to blow it all up, as well as losing a potentially very valuable ally in Roxroy, who is difficult to work with for most other players in the game, but not for Mike, assumedly, given what we've seen. Then on the other tribe, we have the fall of Jonathan here.
Oh, wow.
The fall. As he is going to come up with an idea to blindside Drea and remove her idol from play. He pitches it to Marianne and says that, Marianne, you are the decoy vote. Now, I was very confused at first as to why Marianne would be the decoy vote and not Tori. I think I figured out what his plan was, which was basically Tori can't be the decoy vote because then what do they tell Tori the vote is, right? So if they tell Tori, like, hey, you know, basically the plan is we tell Tori that the vote is Marianne, so that if Tori goes to Drea, there's nothing to for Tori to expose. They both confer and she it's confirmed. Oh, yeah, Marianne is the target. Whereas if they tell Tori, so there's a blindside on Drea, but like, you know, you can't tell Drea, then Tori might tell Drea, especially if Tori talks to Drea and it somehow gets out that Tori is the backup vote. There's even more incentive for Tori to go to Drea and be like, well, if I'm the backup vote, like, let's get on the same page and pull one over on them, right? He doesn't think he can trust Tori with the information that Drea is the actual target. Now, this is all actually moot because Marianne immediately goes to Tori. But I believe the ultimate point of discussion here between Jonathan and Lindsay is that Lindsay says, I think that we should just pull Tori in. I think that Tori should be the backup vote. And what can Tori do? She can go to Drea, fine, but she's not going to because she can't work with Drea. They don't have a good relationship. And like, I know these people, Tori will not go to Drea. And Lindsay was right. Tori did not go to Drea despite the fact that she knew what the plan was. So while I do see some amount of logic in Jonathan's plan, he has misreads here in terms of how he's treating Marianne, certainly how he's treating Lindsay in this conversation. And in his read of Tori, ultimately, Lindsay has the right read here. And Jonathan is making a complete fool of himself in this conversation.
Yeah, Jonathan really, you know, he got the safety and I think he just kicked his feet up, completely got into the zone where. Yeah, go ahead.
He said it was the opposite. He said, normally you would think you kick your feet up. But I'm kicking my feet down. He said, I've been kicking my feet up all season long. I've been holding back because of my size. I didn't want people to assume things about me. So I've been very careful. I've been very gentle. But now it's time for the real Jonathan to come out and play. And I'm like, oh, no, put it back. Put it back, Jonathan. Put it back in the body.
Kick his feet up. Yeah, this is, you were doing okay. You did not need to do this. You were fine. Your life was fine. You survived a couple of tribals in the merge without immunity as like the physically fit guy. You are fine. Don't do too much. What is he going to do? Too much.
Too much. Do we think that Jonathan is a Tony fan? Because a lot of what he's saying feels Tony-esque. The idea of really playing himself down until a point where he comes out and plays hard. And then especially the notion of normally people, when they win immunity, they would sit back, but I'm going to press harder. That's a Tonyism. That's what Tony does. That's Tony has come out and said that's a strategy of his, that when he had immunity, he would push harder. And so to hear it come from Jonathan, whose other general strategy seems to be a bit Tony-esque in terms of his Winners at War game, at least. It makes me wonder if Jonathan is maybe trying to emulate Tony a bit.
Okay. So I don't know if he is a big Tony guy. However, I think the miscalculation here is that you can't necessarily emulate someone else's game, whether you're a fan of it or not. If you don't fit the mold or you don't have the capability, the tools in the arsenal to pull that off. The difference between Tony and Jonathan is that Jonathan needs to win one immunity one time, and now people think he's going to be an immunity beast. Like, no matter how you look at it. Whereas Tony doesn't have that. And having safety and pushing an agenda is great, because what are they going to do? Vote me out? I guess they can't do that. That's great. However, depending on who you're pushing the vote on, if that doesn't pan out, or if your own alliance mates are saying you shouldn't be doing that, then you better hold on to that immunity necklace. Like, I feel like you are putting yourself on the radar when you need not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think the big difference between Jonathan and Tony is that Tony was a strategic mastermind and Jonathan is not good at strategy, according to Lindsay. Tony has excellent reads on people and knows where he needs to maneuver. Based on what we're seeing from Jonathan, that is not quite the case with him. So ultimately, the plan is in place to vote out Drea. Things go awry when they show up and Roxroy has been voted out. Now, before this, I was also considering, like, because according to what Drea knows, they're about to vote out Marianne. And in my eyes, Drea has the knowledge as power advantage. If they're about to vote Marianne out, she knows Marianne has an idol. Why not just take her idol on the way out? So I thought maybe that could impact where things went. But when she sees that Roxroy is there, she goes, wait a minute. What is, like, you see visually Chanel, Roxroy, what's going on here? We're about to vote out Marianne, or maybe it's me. I don't know if she had an inkling before this, or if seeing Roxroy got her thinking, but either way, she just comes out and says, look, I'm playing my idol. You guys figure out what you want to do. And so they try to pivot to, okay, we'll pretend to Tori that we're still splitting votes and taking out Drea. But the reality is we'll be voting out Tori. When Marianne says, you know what, screw it, screw that whole thing. I will also be playing my idol. I'm not going to be right. I'm not going to even, I guess the point of contention there was I'm not going to pretend to write Drea's name down. Or she was maybe concerned that they would still write her name down. Maybe she didn't catch the part where they were just going to vote out Tori, but
right.
Either way, maybe she wasn't thinking about that at all. Maybe she was still just thinking about what Drea said. But either way, she comes out, she says, I'm also going to be playing my idol. I'm not going to be writing Drea's name down. That's when things get very, if you thought that Jonathan was stuck his foot in his mouth before, he really just, I think, eats his entire leg here. Excuse me, are you calling me racist? Did you hear that word?
Yeah, who brought that up? Who said that? Was it you? Was it us? No, it was you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then even after like the whole conversation, and Marianne gives this beautiful speech, and Jeff is like, that was amazing. Jonathan, now it's time for your redemption arc, says Jeff. Nudge, nudge. What do you think now, Jonathan? And Jonathan's like, I'm just glad they're saying it's not our fault anymore.
Essentially, is it? That's he's like, I'm just happy to know that this isn't what they're feeling from the people here. It's like, Jonathan, were you listening for anything else? Were your ears paying attention to anything else? Wait, it wasn't us? Okay, cool. All right, fine. That's all that matters.
Oof. Oh boy. Oh yeah. Boy. And so Jeff makes the on the spot decision. He loves making these calls. He says, look, if it's weird to talk game, then what if we just talk more game instead of voting right here, right now? And Jonathan's like, are they going to hand in their immunity idols? It's like, that's up to them. And they go ahead and do so. I don't think this changes it. I think that they play their idols. I think that, again, this, like, the decision from Drea might have initially been strategic because she was worried that they were coming from her. By the time Marianne says, I'm going to play my idol to prove that this is not a strategic thing that we're bringing this up. I think at that point, Drea is with her and is like, yeah, this is no longer a strategic thing. This is a statement that we're trying to make here. I don't think they then withhold their idols. I don't think so at all. Don't think it matters that they turn them in, whatever it is. Ultimately, they turn in the idols. They're now safe. It all comes down to Lindsay and Tori. They then have to talk more game than they would have before. And they all agree that they're voting Tori out. Tori goes, plays the, shot in the dark. I gotta say, I thought for sure it was gonna be safe.
Really?
I was like, wow, she's going to get the safety and Lindsay's going to go out this way because Lindsay has had barely anything in the show so far. And that would absolutely, like, people typically what would happen is that anybody that got idled out would usually have like a very purple edit. That hasn't really been the case as much lately, but I thought that was where things were going. Ultimately, though, no, not safe. I did, though, think about the idea of, like, you know, if I'm Lindsay, am I also going to go for the shot in the dark? Because if she hits that 1-6, I might as well also take a 1-6. There's no loss for me to lose my vote here. You know, this is probably the best odds, the best, like, reason to go and play it, I'll ever have. I think I probably would. And then if she does, are there still 12 scrolls there? Are there still two safeties? Like, what if they both get safety? My assumption is that with a group of five, they've cut it back down to six. But they didn't specify that. And if there are still two safeties and they both get safety, I know it's very unlikely. Now everyone's safe. What do they do? Because that's something that is still possible. Even if there weren't two safeties, even if there was only one, say Mike was in that group and Mike also played his idol, and then somebody played shot in the dark and the one person left got safety from shot in the dark. Everyone's immune. It's possible that that can happen. What happens if that happens?
You cancel tribal, right? Unless now everyone's unsafe and we vote again. Like,
I think you have to, right? Because, like, if you cancel tribal, it's just going to be the same group of people coming back next time.
Well, without the advantages, though, right? Without
right,
the,
but that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
I think if everyone becomes immune, do you then say, okay, back to the drawing board, nobody's immune?
Ah, that's so difficult, because my thought is everyone kind of earned it too. So it's like, you can't even if you won the immunity, like the individual immunity, you can't be mad if you then get voted out, because it's all been neutralized, right?
Yeah, because like the other people, they found their individual immunity, or they played their shot in the dark.
Yeah.
And they hit the 1-6. Like, everybody earned it in their own way. So nobody should necessarily have no immunity is worth more than other immunity.
No, that's true.
So do they just say, all right, cancel immunity, now go vote? Or do they say, cancel immunity, draw rocks? Or
cancel immunity, we'll talk again for another like 4 minutes, because now all of you are up for grabs, and then vote, I think. Cancel immunity and draw rocks is just mean. If everyone's earned safety and you're like, nah, we're picking rocks now, let's go, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, if you're the one person and you really, like, you really had to go for it, because, like, if it's just down to a vote again, then it's just like, all right, then Tori, like, although in this spot, maybe I assume it still would have been Tori, but you're just kind of like, the person who earned it last and who needed it the most is the person that's going to pay the most based on that. But it's, again, it's like, at the same time, everybody else earned it, so it's a weird situation. I feel like we're going to see it eventually, given how many idols and safeties and all of that are out there at this point.
I mean, outside of tonight, nothing had been played really yet. So I feel like we were getting to that advantage get in once again. It felt like it was coming through. And honestly, it still very well could be the case. I'm not completely, wouldn't be unsurprised if there's already an idol like put back in the game right away. That could be a thing that's happening. So nah, I think if you go out in that circumstance, Taryn, you're super unlucky, and it was super specific. So you wouldn't be too mad unless you drew a rock. Then you'd be mad. Vote me out at that point. Do not let me draw a rock out. That would suck. Mm-hmm.
Anything else from the episode, or should we get right into these ratings?
I think I'm ready. I think we're ready. Anything we need to talk about the episode, I'm sure will come up in the ratings anyway.
Yes. Yes. All right. So typically what we do here, we rate the players from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing in the game and in this episode, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. And we like to go in order of worst to best. Typically that's where we've been doing, where we've been going here at the merge. Usually starting with the people that were voted out. Although thinking about it, I don't know if that's where I want to start now, thinking about it, because, I think the question can be asked, has Jonathan tanked his chances enough that he's basically drawing dead at this point?
Okay. So Jonathan coming into this episode, I think, is someone who a lot of us have thought, you get to the end, you have a decent shot of winning. Now, the thing is, he maybe has tanked his chances with half of the tribe. Mm-hmm. There's like four people that haven't really seen him do the stuff he did today, right?
Well, he's not tribal.
He is a tribal. Yes, he is a tribal. Oh, and the two jurors are right there. True, mm-hmm. true. His win equity has gone significantly down. I think that at one point he looked to be one of the potential contenders, but I think his gameplay has gotten a little bit more difficult. I think that given the way he's spoken, I have a tough time seeing him play his game right at a final tribal. I could see him stumbling across his own words. So it is a bit of a fall from grace for this man.
Yeah. It's tough to say because we don't know what the reaction is. We only saw what happened live at tribal. We don't know what the reaction is from the other five people, necessarily from, you know, what I imagine that, Chanel and Rox are not pleased with Jonathan in this moment. But you know, we did get to see that Lindsay was certainly not happy with Jonathan. Marianne has not been happy with Jonathan for a long time. You know, Drea, I can't imagine is very happy with Jonathan. In my eyes, I have a tough time seeing Jonathan win this. Even if he went on like a massive immunity spree, and couldn't be touched and couldn't be stopped. Like there's a lot of Survivor fans on this cast, who I think will not be quite as wowed with competition wins as like, you know, people did back in the days of like Mike Holloway. Especially if it's a guy they don't really like very much. Will he maintain some allies? Maybe, but I just feel like if I'm looking at this cast, I can't imagine anybody comes out of this thinking, yeah, Jonathan, he's the representative of this season. Like, he's going to be sitting next to two other options. And the two of those other options have to come from Drea. Who's going to vote Jonathan over Drea after that? High, super impressive, even if he's made some mistakes. Lindsay, who looks way better than Jonathan in this moment, in my eyes. Marianne, I think Marianne creams Jonathan at this point. Mike, maybe, but Mike is way more likable. Omar, yeah. I think would crush him. Maybe Romeo. Maybe he'd have a chance against Romeo at this point. Nobody seems to like Romeo, but he's got to sit next to two people.
Yeah, at least two people. So he's going to have, again, and I think Romeo could talk him out of the game as well. I think Romeo could beat him in a battle of conversation. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there were a couple episodes in there, Taryn, where the tribe is calling him like Thor. He's like out here being like the god. And he seemed to be doing decently with some pockets of people as far as conversation went. But just today alone, I feel like tanked it for me completely. I don't see a combination of three where he's going to stand on top.
So I've talked myself into it. I'm going to put Jonathan at the bottom, below both of the voted out players. And I'm going to give him a one. I think this was a terrible, terrible look for many reasons, but strategically included. I think that I don't know how he wins the game from here. It's not impossible. There's plenty of episodes left. There's plenty of time left in the game. Maybe things can change. But in terms of where he was to where he is now, it is as about as bad as it can get without just straight up leaving the game. And it was all his fault. Like, he was in control of every single moment. Nobody put him in a spot where this needed to happen for him. So, that's where I'm at with Jonathan. What do you think, Booyah?
I'm not mad at that. I will say Jonathan is in my bottom three. I guess I'll keep the more traditional, format for mine. He will be three on mine. Spoiler alert. I went with the thing is, it's so difficult when you have two people eliminated in like two groups of five. They're each essentially 9.5 if you want to get technical with it. I do have Tori here at the one spot. And for me, this just boils down to I had not seen a path for Tori to win unless Tori wins every immunity leading to final three. And even then, depending on who Tori was going to sit next to, it was going to be a tough time. I feel like the eye rolling here from Tori, I didn't love, but I was processing so much. I mean, this is what, 2 hours removed from the episode. I'm still processing so much. There are moments of Tori that I did not love here. Now, was there anything Tori could have done in this group? No. I think the minute we got to Lindsay versus Tori, Lindsay has allies in this bunch. Tori comes into this group with one other person from her initial tribe, and she has been coming in trying to vote this person out actively. So it was curtains for Tori. She draws the wrong shot in the dark, and her shot is now in the dust. It's over.
Yeah, for me, I have Rox below Tori this week, primarily because I just feel like Rox did this to himself more so than Tori in this particular week. You know, Rox going for this guy's alliance, pitching it to people who want nothing to do with it, have very little relationship with him, puts himself in the firing line. The fact that Hai was pissed at Romeo and decided instead to blow up his whole majority alliance just to take Rox out is not great for Rox. I feel like, while I can appreciate what he was going for, and I like that he was starting to try and like do something strategically, it was definitely a misfire here. And I think directly led to his own vote out. So I have to be low here on Rox. Also, like the messaging and the way that he was saying it, I don't think was ever going to land well with more than just a couple of the dude bros. So I think I have to give Rox a 2. And then I would have Tori, who I have to give credit for the fact that she was, despite the fact that she lost immunity for the first time, in a spot where she was not the person who was intended to be voted out and wasn't even the backup plan for the person that they were intending to vote out, until, you know, two idols are played and now almost by default, she's out. So in a spot where I haven't loved Tori's game to this point, I feel like, you know, weirdly, her boot episode is not one where I find the most amount of fault with her game. Overall, though, I think, you know, her general position has led her here. And so it's right. Going to be a 3 for me for Tori.
Roxroy is in my 2 spot. Very similar things to what you have said. I do want to say, I feel like if the breakdown of the separated two tribes goes differently, Roxroy could still be here. Roxroy does end up in a group of 5 guys, his dream. He's so happy. But it doesn't fall in a way that's going to be beneficial to him. Namely, there were 3 people that were not really feeling this alliance, and all 3 of them end up in this breakdown with him and Mike. Now, do I think that if he had gone all the way to the end, could he have a chance to win? Slim chance, but there was still a chance. I feel like the story we got from him at the when he was exiled was beautiful. That kind of gave me like, ooh, maybe Roxroy can do something in this game. What's funny, Taryn, is that with these 2 boots, I am officially out of the Survivor draft. But also, I think after Jonathan's performance, you are out with me. We're out together. So,
hey, maybe he can get second place still. Throw him a vote at the end.
I have gotten the runner up in the previous Survivor draft. It feels nice. It feels nice. But yeah, I'm officially out now. Again, it's like kind of 9.5. They both went out for me. And then Jonathan in number 3, simply because he's still in the game. But I do think he damaged a lot of game that he had set up for himself that I think would have been completely fine. He would have gone well. I think if he had continued to play a little bit more passive, quiet, work on building relationships, it would have bared a lot more fruit than trying to decide now is the time I need to strike and make a big move on the resume. It was too early. And I think now, given kind of the tongue twistiness of what happened with him, with some of the verbiage he used that I did not appreciate at all, but we have to wait and see what happens with him. I think he's still going to be a threat in these challenges. I think that he's still got enough wiggle room potentially to maybe not be seen as a very good strategic player, right? I think that's a good takeaway here is that, yeah, he's not good. So we shouldn't be threatened by him. We could be fine keeping him in the game. We'll have to wait and see. But he, again, it's more like a he moved down than anything. He just had a huge downward trajectory as of tonight.
All right. Well, next for me, I think I have to go with Romeo here. And I would give him a four. So it's a 1, 2, 3, 4 so far. Reason being, just again, I feel like I'm not seeing enough of why it's happening, but for whatever reason it's happening, people just don't seem to like Romeo very much in particular. He's got into like a feud with High. Drea doesn't seem to like him anymore. And both of those people are still in the game, and he's still on the outs. Now, this was a good episode for him. He survived. Not only does he survive, but shots were fired within the majority, and lots of things could change. And he has opportunity to adjust based on the fact that things have blown up. But I think it's a big loss for him that ultimately High and again Drea remain in the game, because those are two people who, no matter where they fall, won't want to include Romeo, seemingly. Which means he has a very bad chance of getting back into a good place here. He's probably going to remain on the outs no matter what new thing forms, because there's too many people that don't want him in. And for those reasons, I have to give him a four. I also, like, I can't give him too much credit for, you know, surviving and like orchestrating a vote to keep himself safe or anything, because it doesn't seem like, based on what we saw, he really had all that much to do with it. It seemed like it was more of a Omer and High thing, and it was almost like, despite the fact that I would love to see Romeo go, strategically it makes more sense to take out Roxroy because Romeo is such a non-threat.
Okay, so I gave number four over to High, actually. So the reason I went with High as opposed to potentially Romeo here is because, to me, High has immunity, right? High wins immunity, congratulations. Safety is always a great thing to have in the game. But High has someone who has now written his name down, who he has publicly kind of denounced the night before, and who he could vote out with his close ally, Mike, who he doesn't want to separate from. I feel like it's someone he can easily remove and jump back into the game, be completely fine. Now, do I think it is a move of a good player to be able to put something like that aside, pettiness aside, and play the game with them? Yes, 100%. I worry, though, from the minute High let Lydia go after fighting so hard to keep Lydia in the game, I worry for High's landing spot here. Because while I do think that he is someone who has game chops and now shown to have the capability of winning some immunity challenges here and there, I'm worried that he's left himself in a place where he is more of the vessel that Omer's using to make moves. I think he gets, you know, cut before Omer does. I think he gets cut before, and I think he's one of the ones where, if you're looking at a bigger move, I could see High just being the casualty of that somewhere down the line here. So for me, he ends up in that situation when he could have definitely gotten rid of Romeo and had a easier route for himself.
Oh, well, I don't even have High next personally. Do you have a rating for Romeo?
Romeo's later down, so we'll wait a little bit. Yeah.
For me, I would next have, did you have a rating for High? Did we get one?
Oh, High was four.
Okay. Okay. So yes, for me, I actually have Mike next. Reason being, in my eyes, Mike made a bad call here. I think that Mike is set up really well if Roxroy stays. Rox wants the bros to stick together, and within the bros, the broiest of the bros are Rox, Jonathan, and Mike. And so Mike also has the connection to High and to some other players within the majority, so he's set up in almost an onion structured alliance at that point, if he sticks in that direction. Not to mention the fact that he has been effective at sort of like maintaining his will. He got Chanel out last week, didn't capitulate to what High and ultimately Omer wanted then. This week, he not only takes out Roxroy, who is, a shield in front of him, somebody that would want to work with him and not with other people, and helps structure something that works very well for Mike around him. He also loses almost all of that probably, because by taking Roxor out, as he verbalizes this himself, what is that saying to the Alliance? We're breaking up the whole thing, and the whole thing is real good for Mike. I've been very high on Mike's game to this point because he's been very well positioned. This blows everything up. As we saw, it immediately blew things up, and who knows where the game goes from here. I can't say with certainty that Mike will be able to get back into as good a position. And I really feel like this was the wrong call from him. I think that he should have stood his ground and been very firm about this. In addition to that, the reason I am going to give, I'm going to next go for, actually, yeah, next I would go with High as well. I would put High just above Mike, because in my eyes, High succeeded where last week he failed. He managed to get Mike to change his mind. He managed to get Mike to blow up his own game to some degree for High's benefit. I think that's all very good. In addition to that, Mike said that High was his number one in his confessionals, which I think is also a good sign for High. Even though he hasn't been completely effective at swaying Mike in the past, he finally has a win under his belt, and this could be the beginning of something better, considering there's opportunity to rebuild from here. So for me, I'm going to give High, Mike a 5. And I'm also going to, I'm going to give High a 6, here, because I just think that, I feel like I've seen High do good work in the past. I've seen him falter, and now I'm seeing him potentially back on the rise. So, those are my next two.
Okay. So I may have moved something in the middle of this conversation. You might have unlocked something for me here. So in fifth place, I'm going with Romeo. Now, I think that Romeo, for me, Romeo is someone who I initially did have a little bit higher on my list, but I feel like Romeo is someone who will benefit. The primary beneficiary on this big alliance potentially imploding is Romeo. I think Romeo could be finding himself in a decent spot if he is to survive like one, maybe two more of these tribals. I could see him being in a position where no one's looking at Romeo. Now, is he going to be playing the game to actively put himself in a winning position? That I don't know. That I'm not sure how I feel about quite yet. But he survived something that should have felt like Romeo's gone, and he's still here. So I love that for him there. In six, the next spot for me is Lindsay. And this is no knock against Lindsay being in this spot. It has to 100% do with the fact that we don't see Lindsay, so I don't see a lot. But the little bit of, you know, nuggets we get, I'm not mad at. When we saw Lindsay talking to Jonathan this episode, I loved everything about that. I feel like if she could be the Jonathan whisperer, that can take her very far. But ultimately, I feel like I'm not getting enough from Lindsay, so it's not giving me a lot of hope for Lindsay's journey here. I could see Lindsay being a quiet casualty in like the penultimate episode of the season. You know what I mean? And I will forget about Lindsay. But forgetting about Lindsay might not be a bad spot if you're in the game. If you forget about Lindsay, Lindsay can find herself closer to the end.
Yeah, I think that, looking at the board, I also would have Lindsay next. I think that she's hurting from this tribal. In the sense that Drea should now know that Lindsay was going to vote her out. The fact that Roxroy was voted out as well. This majority alliance not likely to come back together in the same form that it was before, which means that Lindsay's position is going to deteriorate. That said, I saw things from her in this episode that indicated to me that she's actually a pretty decent player and has pretty good instincts. I wasn't sure about that before. I saw that she was in a good position, but I didn't know if she was worthy of it. Now I feel like she's worthy of a good position, but I'm not sure she's in one. So I'm also going to give Lindsay a 6 here. And then we start to get really interesting, because that leaves Omer, Marianne, and Drea for me. I think I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Drea next. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, and the main reason I think I'm going to go Drea below Marianne is because they wanted to vote her out to begin with, which means that like her general position was not super great. Obviously, this twist kind of put her in this spot, and maybe she's probably not in this position without it. But they did want her out. I'm not sure if she would have caught on or if she had caught on without the Roxroy vote out. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And these are like, I'm starting with the negatives for Drea, even though I'm giving her a top three spot, but that's because I was deciding between her and Marianne, and these are the differentiating points between the two of them. So overall, I think, great instincts to say she's going to play her idol here, in front of everybody in a spot where she was the plan. I don't know how, like what exactly spawned this to the exact pinpoint of it, but whatever it did, right instincts to say, I'm going to use my idol right away. Maybe she wasn't planning to initially. Maybe she was. Either way, I like it. She's going to keep herself safe in a spot where it's a dangerous position. The game resets next round by putting everyone back together. So this is exactly the time to be using your advantages, to be using your idols. Not to mention the fact that by saying, like, I'm going to use my idol here, everybody knows she has one. She also still has the knowledge is power advantage, and she also still knows that Mike is holding an idol. So if she really needed one, she could still get one if she needs it. So that's a kind of a clever position to be in, I think. Nobody knows that she has the knowledge is power advantage. In addition to this, the fact that she was in potentially a bad position with this majority is potentially wiped clean now, given the fact that this majority is likely blown up. And she has an opportunity to rebuild from here. I feel like the position moving forward is one of opportunity. And I think she's in a position to take advantage of that and move forward. And I think that Taku takes a big hit, which is good for, Drea overall. Yes, she loses the idol, but I think she's in a much better position moving forward. And I think she played it very well. I'm giving her a 7.
So she is, I have 4 left. We have 3 of the same left. I still have Mike in mind.
Okay.
But I have Drea here. I have Drea in this spot as well. And we have very similar thoughts on Drea's trajectory here. I felt like, and this is the blowback of watching the show once here and live, is that I saw Drea put something in her pocket, but I couldn't tell if that was the idol or if that was one of her little scrolls, the little papers that she was putting in there. And this was before she declared, I'm using my idol tonight. So... I don't know what that was. Now, she has used an idol. That's gone. She has safety. She's in the final 8. And she still has a bunch of goodies ready to go, ready to be used. I think that Drea is someone that can still pivot and find a new landing spot if the big alliance has imploded. Now, the tricky thing becomes this knowledge is power. Because if she's to use this knowledge is power successfully, I think that will put her back like on a spot where she's going to be on the radar, because her idol's used. They can just see it as, oh, she doesn't have any advantage. Like, she's good. Everything's good. Everything's fine. But I worry for Drea because she has a lot of good things going for her at the moment. She is athletic. She has, you know, she just used an idol and she was in this big alliance. There are many things that could go wrong for her, but I do think that on the night, she did what needed, like she did everything that she could. We had a very important conversation that was played out. And ultimately the person who was going to be targeted to go home used the idol and is still here tonight. So that's where I'm going to leave Drea.
All right. And who did you have in third?
I had Marianne.
Interesting.
I'm being more and more impressed with Marianne, outside of the fact that she is an amazing TV character for us to watch. And I've enjoyed what I've been getting from her. These latest, like last couple of tribals, I've been getting a lot of good conversation from Marianne, a lot of articulate thoughts from Marianne. I think Marianne is someone, you know, she's the opposite of Jonathan in many ways, but especially in the fact that I think if Marianne is at the end, I think Marianne can talk a jury into giving her the W.
I agree. I very much agree.
And this is, you know, Mariana's someone in the age range that I never look at when I'm thinking of drafting. I mean, you're too young. You're not going to be taken seriously. I think Mariana will be taken super seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the way she's able to oscillate from silly laughter, joking, to then have a very, very serious conversation and have Jeff Probst in the palm of her hand. Like, tonight was a lot and incredible. And then she does use her idol to essentially say, I don't want this conversation to be used as a reason why I stayed. I'm using this idol for that statement. Now, she doesn't have an idol. She still has an extra vote, I believe, right? Going into final eight. So she still has that going. The group of four from Orange, I want to say Taku. I should have just gone with my gut. The Taku four still intact, still, and it's the final four. They're literally half of the tribe now. So I feel like I could see Marianne, you know, making it to the end and doing her thing. The only reason why she's not higher here, would be that she, you know, used an idol, but also I completely get why she used her idol on this night and the reason she did it. So I'm not faulting her for that whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, she doesn't use her idol strategically. And I'm not going to grade the use of the idol strategically. I'm going to look at where her position is here. Mm-hmm. Especially in comparison to where it was, last week. For me, I think that Marianne is leagues above where she was last week, and I didn't even hate where she was last week. I think that she's number two for me. She's in a spot where she's got Taku, and also she's been able to express her independence from that group, that she has a mind of her own. I think the thing about her being young, I think, you know, one thing with young players not having as good a time, you know, winning jury votes is that they have a hard time relating to older people. Older people have a hard time relating to the younger players. Also, I think there's a tendency with younger players. I think we saw it a little bit with Xander, not to like, you know, poke at Xander or anything, but even with like Spencer back in the day. I think there's kind of a tendency if you're a little bit younger, you can't really relate to some of the older players anyway. You also just, you tend to try and play it cool a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, like that's, you, that's just like how younger people care more about fitting in. They care more about all of that stuff. Marianne exudes passion and that's what people want to see in their winners. That's why it's hard to see Marianne sitting in the final three stools, and not getting a lot of votes. If she's up there and she is just expressing that passion to the jury, it is going to be difficult to ignore in my eyes. Not to mention the fact that it should be impressive that she got there considering where she starts in this merge situation. And I think she's on her way there, again, because now with this majority blown up, that was her biggest obstacle in the way of her getting to the end. Majority's blown up. There's new groups, new things are potentially being formed. And I think Marianne is a prime piece to be picked up. She no longer has an idol to be threatening. And she's very likable. And I think somebody that a lot of people would look at as somebody that they can use as a number at the very least. So, she should have some options moving forward, working with Taku, working with a potential new group that wants to pull her in. She might be able to be in a spot where she can play the middle. That's where I kind of see her. Now, she's not in that spot yet. It's just those opportunities are available. So for me, she is at a 7, but she is in second place overall. Also, Puya, I just want to make sure we have the numbers from you, because I don't remember what number, if you gave one, for the last few.
Yeah, so let's see. So it was Tori, Roxroy, Jonathan, Hi, Romeo, Lindsay, Drea, Marianne.
And what are the rating out of 10 for them?
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? Okay. So the Marianne one is 7. Okay. For Drea, 6. Did I give you one for Lindsay or no?
I don't remember. We've been a little messy with
messy with the numbers. All right. Lindsay will also give a 6-2. It's a different 6. Okay. The sixes mm-hmm. can be different. Okay. All right. There we go. And then I think the other ones we have the numbers for currently.
Okay. I know there's somebody that has been keeping track of these. So if there's any that you're missing, feel free to reach out to Puya and get
DM
the answer.
Me. I'll give you the numbers proper. Okay. How about that? All right. So then, and the thing I want to say about Marianne before we leave here, genuinely to me, the story of Marianne versus Jonathan has been fascinating because when I say that they are complete opposites here, I feel like Jonathan has declined now and gone down the numbers, whereas Marianne is climbing up. And I do think we're in a position where the reason Marianne is looking more and more favorable to me is that I think Jonathan does not have the power to, let's say they both turn on each other. I think Marianne will get Jonathan voted out before Jonathan gets Marianne voted out at this point. That's how I feel about it. And this is now Marianne without the idol. So Marianne with the idol, it's like, ooh, maybe we don't like whatever. Oh, we keep her for this. I think what you've said will come to fruition. I think that she can work with the Taku. She can work with a new variety of people. And we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. Now, Taryn, you got someone much lower than I did.
Yeah.
And he's still on my list here. It's Mike. And here's the thing, right? I agree with you. It would have been better for Mike if Roxroy stayed, right? 100%. Roxroy is someone that can be ahead of him. Now, the reason I have Mike this high, I don't think anyone is looking at Mike. I don't think anyone's looking at Mike and saying he's causing trouble or he's doing this, he's doing that. Mike is pretty much beloved by everybody, to my knowledge. I think that he's someone that can go pretty far. I think he's someone that can easily find himself far because everyone's taking shots at each other. And Mike just gets to waltz his way down to the end potentially here. And he is someone that's fascinating to me. I did not have high hopes for Mike coming into this season. I've been very wrong about it. I feel like my first impression of Mike was incorrect. And I just feel like he's someone who can genuinely, I can see a path for him to the end. Hell, I could see a path to him winning, depending who he's sitting next to, how he answers some questions. I could see him, making that happen. Now, is he playing like a 8 out of 10 game? No, definitely not. But I just feel like I can see how he's going to benefit from the season and the cast that's remaining. I can see where he could go with the remaining 8 people,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there it is. I think I'm definitely penalizing him for like the move this week. But I do agree. I think that he's potentially in a position to, to still be in an okay spot and recover from here. But, for now, it's definitely, he's taking a penalty. But that of course leaves the number one pick on the board for the last 3 weeks running, it's Omer, who last week, his alteration to the plan did not go through. This week it did. And I think that's it has been very effective. I think that I again have to give him a 9 because of it. An effective plan worked through. I can't go as high as a 10 or anything, especially because I think the intention was to cause a little chaos. I think it caused a little more than he intended. Who knows where he's able to go from there. He loses a little bit of his power base here at Taku, I think, due to this. But I do think that, as he said, Roxroy is somebody that he couldn't really work with. And the fact that he's able to take Roxroy out, cause a little disruption in the overall structure. I think he's well positioned to be able to work with again, people like Marianne, Andrea, potentially, especially because he shouldn't get the majority of the blowback on this decision, considering Hai is the one that pushed it, and Mike is the one that okayed it. So he should be able to kind of sit back and be like, wasn't my fault. Plus, he's, in my eyes, displayed the most amount of agency and just potential overall here post-merge so far. So that's it. 9 from me.
Cosign. I cosign the grade. I cosign the number one ranking. I feel like Omer is, everything I would want in a player and everything I would wish I could do if I ever played, like this is beautiful. I love the subtlety. I love the playing in the shadows. I enjoy it immensely. I think that there are many directions you can point of people leaving before Omer does. The only drawback to Omer's game, there's two drawbacks. Number one is if you get to the end, you got to make sure you can you talk about your game and what you've done. Because when you're playing in the shadows, it's easy to get eclipsed. And as long as he's able to talk his game, he'll be fine. And Omer has done nothing but prove that he is someone who is very articulate when it comes to the game and strategy. I think he'll be fine and articulate. So he doesn't have the problem. Number two is if he gets caught or snitched out, then he could become a target real quick and be in a bad spot. I also don't see that happening, which is why he's number one on my list. I feel like I don't see him being in a position where anyone's going to look at him. And for as long as that's happening, he's fine. Now, if let's say a couple of the bigger threats come off the board, do people start looking at Omer? I don't know. If Omer was to win an immunity, do people start looking at Omer? I don't know. But for as long as we see more of what we've seen, Taryn, it's going to be hard to remove him from number one for me. It's going to be like, it is going to be a long day before that happens.
Well, there you go. And that's it. That's, we've only 10 people and, next week only 8 people remain for, the stock watch. So, these should be getting, faster and faster, especially since there wasn't much, in the, campaigning portion of the episode to really talk through. And that's what we have for you, for the stock watch this week. This is the final, double feature Wednesday of what we're going to be doing here next week. I will be in New York. Obviously there will be a double feature, but I will not be marathoning the night as I normally will be. I'll be marathoning, probably at a bar in New York somewhere, instead. Yeah. So be aware that next week we will be playing fast and loose with, when the stock watch happens and all of that. But, moving forward from here, we'll have a little bit more time to dedicate to, the Survivor stock watch and podcasts. So hopefully it'll be easier on me, and more fun for everyone. Even though these are very fun, we'll get off our butts.
Everybody get up off your butt.
It'll be a good time. Puya, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, honestly, I've been enjoying this season. There's been a lot of stuff to love. I can't wait for next week. We're going to be watching it live. So in person. And New York. So I'm excited for that event to go down. We'll see how everything shakes out. And good luck to you in the draft, Taryn. For me from the sidelines, good luck to you. Because Survivor was not kind to me this year. Let's just be honest as far as drafts go. But we don't need to talk about it.
I need some of this second place energy.
That's not bad.
No. Get that one vote, Jonathan. All right. That's what we have for you this week. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you check out all of the Big Brother coverage, next week's Survivor coverage, when it happens. Find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching these episodes live with all of you. Check out the Taryn Show. I also just recorded a community podcast about the show community with Josh over on Post Show Recap. So check that out. Check out all the things. Puya. What should they check out of yours?
They should check out 90 Day Fiance on the Rahap Ups Network and Masked Singer on the Rahap Ups Network. I had Asia on with me on 90 Day this week. I do the Masked Singer podcast with my partner in crime, Liana Boris. And you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. And if you're the scorekeeper, DM me. We might have to talk. And twitch.tv/Puya for any streaming desires as far as my direction goes.
All right.
Weird phrasing. Well, it's been a long day, Taryn. We'll move
it
on.
It has been. It's the community podcast went straight into the Big Brother episode.
Oh, you've been here for hours.
I've been here for about 6 hours. Yeah.
It's time.
It's finally time to get off
Everybody
the butt.
Get up off your butt.
Thank you all so much for joining me here tonight or whenever you're listening to this. And I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back. To give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual sees. Taryn's update for Survivor.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.